Stop us saying one more. Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. And glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. So the purpose of this class today and the following classes after the break, we're going to have a break for 2 weeks for Holy Week and Easter, is we really want to try to get to know someone who's very, very important. And is the person that Jesus loved most in this world. And that person that Jesus really loved most was actually his mother. Okay? And his mother is... Her name is Mary. So what we want to do is we want to go through a series of reflections on how we can really get to know Mary and talk to Mary and give our life to Jesus through Mary. So what I've done over the past 5 or 6 years is I kind of step back and look at the society, then I go into my room and I start to write. Okay? So I've already written 2 books that have actually been published, okay, by a pretty famous publisher, Sophia Press. I wrote this out for you. It hasn't been published officially. I hope it will one day. And this is a consecration of young people to Jesus through Mary. So the purpose is we really want to get to know Mary and be able to talk to Mary. Have a lot of trust in Mary. Open our hearts to Mary. See Mary as our mother, our guide, our life, our sweetness, our hope, our inspiration. So the way I wrote this is there's an introduction which I explained the purpose of this. And then the last part today is it's a worksheet. You're going to be filling in some questions on basically how we can get to talk to God. Talk to Mary. So we'll read and I'll stop to explain, and then the last part will be the worksheet. We'll fill it in. We'll end the class then by spending about maybe 2 or 3 minutes in silence, in which we're going to try to already enter into this conversation with Mary. All right, so let's start. The title is Consecration of Youth to Mary. Highway to Holiness. So all you have your sheets? Okay. Highway to Holiness, Happiness in Heaven, the 3 H's. Highway to Holiness, Happiness, and Heaven. Shortcuts are very useful. We want to arrive quicker at our destination. If you're going around in circles, then you'll never arrive home. In the spiritual life, the saints have mentioned a shortcut to holiness, happiness in heaven, and that is a sincere, honest, pure, dynamic love and devotion to Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our loving Mother. So she's the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our loving Mother. So instead of starting and stopping in our spiritual life, running in circles, or being like a dog running after his tail, we should choose knowing and loving Mary, and she'll bring us to Jesus. When I was in Chile, we had a dog. We named him Psicopata. Does any of you speak Spanish? You ever hear the word psychopath? Psychopath means crazy, because our dog would run after his tail. He's a German Shepherd, and he's always running after his tail. He'd be going, woof, 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 woof. He'd be doing that for about 3 minutes, and we called him psicopata, which means psychopath, because he was crazy. I think there's some people that are kind of like that psicopata. They're running after their tails, and they don't get anywhere. Or did you ever see a hamster? Do you know what a hamster is, or a gerbil? Kind of like, it looks like a little mouse. And you put it in the cage, and it goes around and 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 around. And it really doesn't get anywhere. It just goes around in circles. No? Do you know what a treadmill is? Maybe I'll go to LA Fitness or one of those Planet Fitness, and there's a treadmill when you put it on, and you're just walking, right? And no matter how fast you walk, you don't get anywhere, do you? You never really get off the treadmill. So I think there are spiritual treadmills, spiritual hamsters, spiritual psychopaths. So we want to make sure that we choose the quickest path, and that path is Mary. So if you love Mary, Mary's going to bring us to Jesus, and Jesus is going to bring us to God the Father. Amen? So that's going to be the quick path. The quick path to arrive at Jesus is through his mother Mary. Let's read on. Mary brings us to Jesus. Some people, often those who we call Protestants, they protest that if we draw close to Mary, talk to her in prayer, spend time with her, have paintings or statues of her, then a relationship to Jesus will suffer and be less. Totally wrong. The gospel teaches us this. The first public miracle that Jesus carried out was in Cana at a wedding banquet. They ran out of wine at the wedding banquet. As this was embarrassing for the wedding couple, Our Lady intervened and told Jesus that there was no more wine. Then Mary said these very powerful words, "Do whatever he tells you." And Jesus did his first public miracle by turning water into wine, and the best quality wine. Therefore, Mary did not turn the attention to herself, but rather she turned the attention to Jesus. This you can read in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. John. In her canticle of praise, Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." An example I'd like to give is if I invited you to meet some of my relatives. 9 of my brothers and sisters. And my mom has 39 grandchildren, a pretty big family, huh? So you're sitting at the table, and you're talking to me, and my brother was a doctor, then I have one sister, she has her 8 children. And the whole time you're talking to my family, but you never talk to my mother. Man, there's something wrong with that. My brothers and my nephews and nieces will say, "What's wrong with that kid? Doesn't have any manners, didn't even greet the mother that brought all these people into existence. You should at least greet my mother." I think that's common sense. You invited me to go to your house, and you're there with your 3 brothers, sister, your father, and never even greet your mother. That's rude. So the same thing with respect to Mary. I mean, Jesus, if we just ignore Mary, then Jesus feels sad, because Mary's the one he loves most. So other religions, the Protestants and Jehovah's Witnesses say, no, you shouldn't talk to Mary. No, you should talk to Mary. You talk to Mary, Jesus is happy. That gives him blood of joy in his heart. So don't feel that you talk to Mary that you're offending Jesus. On the contrary, the more you talk to Mary, the more happy Jesus is. Now Mary and Jesus, they work together. There's no rivalry or competition or jealousy or envy. No, but rather, the more we honor Mary, the more we honor Jesus, and then we honor God the Father. Let's move on. So Mary and children and young people. Mary has a special love for you, for children and for teenagers. Jesus was once her little child. Mary appeared to little children in Fatima. Little children, little shepherd children. Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia were her special loved children. Also in Lourdes, France, Our Lady appeared to a little girl 18 times. Saint Bernadette. Mary loves you very much, and she wants you to get to know and love Jesus more and more each day. Whoever love wants to be loved. The Lady wants you to get to know her and to love her more and more each day. This would be very, very painful. You come home from school. Come home from school. And your mom gives you a hug. And she says, I really love you. And you say, well, I don't love you. That's going to break her heart. And you know it, right? Never do that. You have to apologize and say, oh, well, I just had a bad day. Mom, I really do love you. I was really tired. No. So if on a human level we reject love, we don't love Mary. That hurts her heart too. So Mary loves us, and we should respond by trying to love her back. Even tell Mary, I love you. I love my natural mom, but I love my spiritual mom too. So you've got two mothers. You got your natural mom, you got your supernatural mom. And those are the two mothers that love you most. They want what's best for you. Do you know what love is? Thomas Aquinas, who's a great thinker, defines love as willing the good of the other. What is the greatest good? The salvation of your soul. That's the greatest good. So Mary wants you to go to heaven. Actually, more than you want to go to heaven, she wants you to go to heaven. So she's your greatest fan on earth. She's going to help you to get to heaven. But you got to pay attention to her and talk to her. She'll help you to get to heaven. Okay, this is one of the primary purposes of our program. Get to know and love and trust our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Silence, reflection, and prayer with Mary. We can never really love a person if we do not get to know who that person is. Therefore, every day, for these coming days, we must make the decision to spend some time in silence, thinking seriously and talking to Mary. Will always lead us to Jesus. This special time with Jesus and Mary will prove to be some of the most precious moments in your life. Indeed, they can transform or change your life. Call it to joy. You know, everyone wants to be happy. Right? Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone in the world. why is it that everyone wants to be happy, but you have a lot of people that are sad? Because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Okay, they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. A lot of people look for happiness in drinking and drugs and the casino and all that. I mean, you can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. Pleasure you can buy, you got money. But happiness comes from God. You could actually be poor and even have some type of physical ailment. You can still be happy because if you have God within you, you're going to be happy. That's what Mary's going to teach us, that true happiness comes from our relationship with God. Yeah. Call the joy. A wonderful fruit that you'll experience in your soul is that of joy. Many young people mistake pleasure for joy. You know, there was even, maybe you've heard of the Beatles. The Beatles are a very famous rock and roll group. They used to sing, "Money Can't Buy Me Love," no? Paul McCartney. No? Money can buy you pleasure, but can't really buy you true love. True love comes from God. So you can buy pleasure. You can buy a hot dog or ice cream or pizza, ice cream cone. Some people even mistakenly take drugs or drink too much and find pleasure in this. No? True joy can only come from our contact with Jesus and Mary. God, the angels and the saints. Five of the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary are actually titled the Joyful Mysteries. By spending time alone with Jesus and Mary, you will start to experience this fruit of joy in your hearts that perhaps you have never experienced before. St. Paul reminds us, "Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord." The Blessed Mother wants to give you an overflowing joy, a joy that you will want to share with others. You will not want to keep it to yourself. Quickness to heaven. If we can get to know Mary, love Mary, live in the presence of Mary, talk often to Mary, try to imitate the sublime virtues of Mary, pray the Hail Mary often, with great love and devotion, then most assuredly, we are on the highway to heaven. The purpose of our life on earth is very clear. We are here to get to heaven. That's why we're here. Mary is a bridge to get to heaven. A bridge. Ever cross a bridge? No? Don't jump off the bridge, but cross the bridge, huh? The bridge will lead us to the other part. Mary is the bridge from earth to heaven. Mary is an easy ladder to climb to make it to heaven. For this reason, it's so important for us to give ourselves to Jesus through the intercession of Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our loving Mother. The first great lovers of Mary. The first and greatest lovers of Mary were her husband, the great Saint Joseph, and the greatest of all the saints in the church and in heaven, and even more important, Jesus. He was the one that really loved Mary most. Therefore, let us follow the example of both Saint Joseph and Jesus and love Mary and give ourselves to her loving care and embrace. So there we see the picture is the picture of the Holy Family. Saint Joseph, you probably know, was a carpenter. Jesus had a lamb in his arm, and Mary was present there. That's the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. So our worksheet. Now we'll proceed to enter into this wonderful journey of preparation for our consecration to Jesus through Mary. We will ask Our Lady to pray for us and to pray with us that this might be the best journey and preparation in our lives leading up to our total consecration to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay, so you all have your pencils? Okay, prayer period. I'm going to talk about how we can talk to Jesus and Mary, some steps on how to pray well. The prayer period that you do every day is the very heart of the preparation for your consecration to Jesus through Mary. The more generous, hardworking, and faithful that you are to your daily prayer period, the more graces and blessings you'll receive from your consecration. Following our helps to pray well. Okay, number one. We're going to be talking about when, where, how, and what. Okay? When to pray, where to pray, how to pray, and what should be used when we pray. So we're going to be answering the when, the where, the how, and the what. Okay? So let's start. When should you pray? You can pray any time, but write this in there. Pray early in the morning. Write that in there. Early in the morning. When I have the 8 o'clock Mass in the morning, I usually start off my day by praying about 3 hours. Okay? So I'm not going to say you have to pray 3 hours. You're probably not ready for that. You probably have a spiritual heart attack. That's too much. No? But we want you to give a little bit more time to talk to God. You know, in 3 days, we enter in what is called La Semana Santa. La Semana Santa, which is the Holy Week. This is the most holiest week of the year, with Palm Sunday, this Sunday. So every time which we want to try to pray a little bit more, it's right now. You want to talk to God some more. Find some time to talk to God. So, pray early in the morning. And the example of Jesus, he got up way before dawn. Jesus got up way before dawn to pray. He said he was absorbed in prayer. Got up way before dawn to pray, and he was absorbed in prayer. I think you know what dawn is, right? Dawn is when the sun is coming up. And that's about maybe 5:30. So we got it way before dawn. That was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to say you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's too early. Okay? But when you get up for school, okay, when you get up for school, get up maybe 15, 20 minutes earlier. Yeah. Make that sacrifice. You can do it. You can do it. You're getting up at 6:40. Okay, get up at 6:20. Make that little sacrifice. And you know what's going to happen is, even though you're getting up a little bit earlier, if you do that time in prayer, you're going to experience more energy and strength than during the course of the day. Sounds to be somewhat contradictory, but the more you give time to God, the more energy He gives to you and strength He gives to you. Remember the first Friday of the month when I went to the university, I spent the whole night in prayer. Then I didn't even go to sleep, and I was fasting, and the whole Saturday I was able to work and study. I didn't even feel tired. And they're saying, where did that come from? It came from God. So the more we give to God, the more He gives to us in return. We want to be generous with God. Okay, now, where are you going to pray? Where should you pray? Number two, you should pray where you can be alone when you're alone. You can't be with someone else. So you have to be alone because you're alone with God. And silent. A lot of noise, you can't pray. You can't be praying with your telephone and with the radio on, with the TV on, you have to have silence. God speaks in silence. And uninterrupted. So alone, silent, and also uninterrupted. Ever happened to you, you're talking with someone, and you're engaged in a conversation, all of a sudden someone came and interrupted the conversation? Ever happened? Kind of bugs you, right? You're talking and someone cut in and interrupted you, and then when the person left, you forgot what you're talking about. The only thing you remember was what you were saying you thought was really important. Well, you know, same thing with God. You got to talk to God. Don't let anyone interrupt you. God is the most important person in the world. Listen to this. God, whenever you want to talk to God, He's ready to listen to you. Anytime, 24/7. Any time of the day, any time during the week you want to talk to God, He's always ready to listen to you. God is never too busy for us, but we're too busy for God. Something's wrong in that, I think. Who's more important, you or God? God's more important. So we shouldn't be too busy and say, God, I'm too busy now. We want to find time to give to God. That's kind of funny. We're too busy for God, but God is never too busy for us. Should be the other way around. So whenever you want to talk to God, He's always ready to listen to you. Right? So give him time. Okay, the last is before, number two, right in before the Blessed Sacrament. Praying before the Blessed Sacrament. Write that in there. Okay, some of you are new. Maybe you don't know what the Blessed Sacrament is, but the Blessed Sacrament, okay, we don't have it here, but if you go in the new church, you're going to see on the altar, you're going to see some candles, candelabra, three candles, another three candles, and you see something that kind of looks like a sunburst, and you see the rays coming out of it. That's called the Blessed Sacrament. It's also called the monstrance. And actually behind it, you see a tabernacle like that in the old church, and you open up, you have the hosts. Those hosts is the body of Jesus Christ. So that's the best place to pray, but you probably can't always go there because you're at home. So you want to find some good place at home. But if you're here in church, pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the best place. Okay, next. And how much time to pray? So I'm not going to say I have to pray like 3 hours like I might pray. Okay, try to pray 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day. Now, you're going to say, that's way too much, Father. But I'm going to be giving you a biblical verse and a long commentary. Just reading it is going to be 15 minutes. So you read it a couple of times, it's already half an hour. So you want to read, but you want to stop to read, think, and you want to talk to God. You might think 30 minutes is a long time, but watching a TV program, Or maybe some electronic game. You may be playing a sport. Find yourself watching TV for 2 hours. Playing a sport 2 hours. Talk with a friend 45 minutes. Can't give God a half an hour? We want to be generous with God. You play sports. I used to play baseball when I was your age, a baseball game. 2.5 hours, no? It went by just like that. So we want to give God time. Give him a half an hour. Not as long as you think. And you're talking to the most important people in the world, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Nothing better than that. Okay, let's move on. Okay, what are physical things that can be of great help? Say, for example, we're not in a church, you're in your house. What are certain physical things that can be of great help? Okay, write down a crucifix. A crucifix. You should all have a crucifix in your room on the wall. Crucifix is a manifestation of how much Jesus loved us by dying on the crucifix. There you have it on the wall. Next, you should have an image of divine mercy. Put that in there, divine mercy. See, right there on my left is an image of divine mercy. You should all have one of those in your house, hopefully in your room. And Jesus promises if you have that divine mercy image, he's going to bless you. Look at his right hand. Right hand is blessing. You have that in your room? Every time you come in your room, Jesus is going to be blessing you. Your parents have it in your house. Every person comes in the house is going to be blessed by that image. It's true. But then, you also want to have Our Lady of most of your parents were born in Mexico. Most of your parents, probably 80%. So of course you want to have an image of Our Lady Guadalupe. Write that in there, an image of Our Lady Guadalupe. There's a big image of Our Lady Guadalupe. It'd be great if you could get one that size and just put it right on your wall, huh? Wouldn't that be great? Come in your room, you see it that size, wow! Really feel that Mary's giving you a big greeting, huh? And if it were not for Our Lady Guadalupe, none of you would be here. Because through Our Lady Guadalupe, the Mexico was converted to the Catholic faith. Did you know that? 1531, Juan Diego. In 30 years, there were 8 million converts. That's the biggest mass conversion in the history of the world. 8 million converts in 30 years. That's huge. So if it weren't for Our Lady of Guadalupe, we wouldn't be here. For me, if it weren't for Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Lepanto, I wouldn't be here either. So we're all here because of Mary's love for us. Okay, next. You can also, there's one last word there. You can also put a candle. Our Lady Guadalupe, a candle. In other words, create a holy space. You want to create an environment in your room where you really feel like talking to God, talking to Mary. Sports is called, you got to warm up before you get on the playing field. You got to warm up. Huh? You got to warm up to God too. Okay, next, number 5. What happens if your conscience is disturbed? If your conscience is disturbed, then you do a good examination of conscience. Examination of conscience. say a good act of contrition, and then go to confession. So three things: examination of conscience, a good act of contrition, and you go to confession as soon as possible. So it's good to go to confession. Well, I think it's good to go every 2 weeks. I'd like to go to confession every week if possible. I usually go in between. I say I usually go every 10 days, in between every week and 2 weeks. I'd like to go to confession. Sometimes I'm a little bit afraid, no? Have to go to confession to another priest. After I really feel good. Ever going to confession? You're a little bit afraid at first, but once you go, I really feel better. Feel good. You're afraid at first. And once you go out, it wasn't as bad as I thought. My conscience is at peace. You know, if you start to do it often, you actually look forward to it. And I see confession like this. It's like going to the doctor. You know, you can go to a doctor, it can be, get some medicine, it can be either preventive medicine or curative. Why do you get a flu shot? You ever get a flu shot? You ever get a flu shot? No? I don't like flu shots. But they work. And once the doctor is about to give me a flu shot, no, doctor, take it. I don't want that flu shot. You got to get it. Ow! So that hurt, and the doctor said, I didn't even give it to you yet. Kind of a coward, huh? Once he gave me the flu shot, I didn't get sick that winter. So you go to confession, it's kind of like getting the flu shot. So you won't get spiritually sick. Then you can pray better. Because when your conscience is at peace, then you can hear God's voice better. So confession helps us to pray better. Let's move on. Okay, now these are steps to start off our prayer experience. Starting off your prayer period and your daily meditation. These are steps. So the first is place myself in the presence of God. Place myself in the presence of God. And imagine Jesus is looking at me with great love. Imagine Jesus is looking at me with great love. And you pray. Okay, pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Spirit. And you pray, teach me how to pray. And then after that, Mary, pray for me and pray with me. Mary, pray to me and pray with me. Okay, the two texts to read in our program will be the Bible, write that in there, the Bible, and the points of meditation. The Bible and the points of meditation. So here's the method. Method with 3 points. You're going to be using your memory and intellect and your will. I'm using your memory, your intellect, and your will. Memory means call to mind the Bible verse you read. Call to mind the Bible verse you read. Intellect or understanding means what is happening in the Bible verse. What is happening in Bible verse? In other words, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? Your will or your heart means what am I experiencing? What am I experiencing in my heart during prayer? What am I experiencing in my heart during prayer? The number eight is kind of a big word for you. It's colloquy. And colloquy means this. It's a conversation. It's a conversation between friends. Conversation between friends. How about a triple colloquy? Triple colloquy means this. Conversation, you can be talking with three. For example, you're contemplating Jesus born in Bethlehem. So you see the baby Jesus who's in the arms of Mary. So you talk to Saint Joseph who's there. You talk to Mary, then you talk to the baby Jesus. So you talk to one, and then the other, and then the last one. And you can talk to three of them at the same time. That's called a triple colloquy. So write down conversation. You can write conversation with Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. You can talk to them individually. You can talk to them, the three of them at the same time. They're the best of listeners. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. Okay, then revision. Revision means go back after you finish your prayer and you're going to, means write down. Write down what you experienced in prayer. Write down what you experienced in prayer. Okay, the ideas. What are the ideas that can be written in this revision? Well, it could be, I felt loved by God. Now this has to be said before we finish, is that God really loves you. Yeah, Jesus really loves you. And the Blessed Mother, she really loves you. I think you've all heard that. I think that's up here in your intellect, but maybe it hasn't gone down to your heart yet. And through this experience, that knowledge, that head knowledge that you have, that I know God loves you, but allow that to go down into your heart. Once it happens, that's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Once you understand, not simply intellectually, but affectively, experientially, that God really loves you, that changes your whole perspective of life. And it's going to happen. I really believe it can happen. Once you're convicted, not simply intellectually, but in the depths of your heart, that God really loves you, that's going to change your life. You're going to be walking through life with a lot more peace. I know that God really loves me. And His love for me never changes. Even though I make mistakes, still loves me anyway, even though I make a lot of mistakes. Only God is perfect. Okay. I felt loved by God and then sorrow for my sins. And then a desire to know, and love Jesus and Mary more. In other words, write whatever you experience in prayer. So we can end. Have a prayer experience for 2 minutes in which we're going to spend 2 minutes looking at the image of Mary. Look at the image of the statue of Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And just look at her with love and talk to Mary for 2 minutes. In your own words, look at her. Whatever's going on in your heart, open up and just talk to her. Let's close by saying that prayer that Mary loves most, and I'll give you my priestly blessing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and your guardian angel, may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.